Why in the world would a company dump a division that's extraordinarily profitable?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. General Electric plans to spin off its credit card business, according to Reuters. It made $2.2 billion last year. Let's bring in Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics, to unravel why a company would want to spin off a cash cow like this. Morning, Karen.
Morning, David.
So what does GE do? It's store brand credit cards, right?
That's correct.
And 55 million Americans apparently carry these GE cards. Why do you suppose GE is getting out of this business, spinning it off?
That's what's fascinating. It's a very, very profitable business. So that's not the reason. The reason is GE Capital was declared a systemic non-bank financial company last month by the Financial Stability Oversight Council.
In other words, a too-big-to-fail post-2008 meltdown company.
Well, I view it a little bit differently as a company that now has to be regulated in so tough a way that it can no longer be too big to fail. So that it's not protected. None of these giant companies is. That's one of the great things about Dodd-Frank, is it does prevent bailouts like we saw in 2008. But the price of that for the kinds of companies like GE, which did get a bailout, is that they, once designated, come under very tough, tough rules set by the Fed. And GE is divesting this bank business to get out of those rules. The smaller it gets, the less like a bank it gets, the less regulation it gets. And that's what this is about.
Karen Petru, Federal Financial Analytics, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are today wrapping up a month that has not been kind to a lot of stocks. With less than one trading session to go in August, the Dow had lost 4.4% for the month, 2.8% for the S&P 500, although the NASDAQ was up slightly again for the month. On Fridays, we check in with Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Howdy, Chris.
Hi there.
There I was thinking that a falling bond market would drive money into stocks, but not this month.
No, and in fact, it's really the falling bond market that seems to be weighing on stocks. The Fed is making noise about ending its third round of asset purchases. You know, this is where they go out and actually buy bonds to drive interest rates lower. And so fear of that program ending has pushed interest rates higher. That's why bond prices are down. But it is those higher interest rates that people fear are going to hurt corporate profits going forward. So it also hurts the stock market. It ends up, no matter where you're invested this month, it was a tough one.
But then as the month wore on, people started getting quite concerned about Syria as an international flashpoint.
Well, that's exactly right. So we saw interest rates in the U.S., 10-year interest rates anyway, as high almost as 3%. And then at the end of the month, they started to fall. And that's the old flight to safety play. Money is flowing out of emerging markets, flowing out of equities around the world, and going into treasuries. I think normally you would see interest rates quite a bit lower than they are. As it is, we're at about 2.75%. So, you know, at least the rise in rates isn't still progressing upward. But, you know, the Fed continues to make noise about ending this QE program.
Continues to make noise about ending the QE, right. Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
The NFL has reached a tentative agreement with 4,500 retired professional football players over claims that the league hid what it knew about the dangers of head injuries. The league will pay retirees $765 million over 20 years. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein joins us with some of the unresolved pieces of this. Morning, Dan.
David, good morning.
So we have the NFL season beginning in a little over a week. Nice timing for the league and its owners getting this out of the way.
Yeah, the NFL hopes this is a storybook ending. In some ways, you can make the case it is. There's a lot of talk about how the NFL could have ended up paying as much as $2 billion in damages if the case had gone forward. Not only that, but maybe more importantly, the league admits no wrongdoing. Had this case proceeded to trial, lawyers would have deposed the NFL, finding out what they knew about concussions and brain injuries and when they knew it.
So you might say that the NFL won this one then?
Well, look, that depends. Certainly, settling this case takes a lot of wind out of all the media stories that we've been hearing about head trauma over the last 18 months or so, and that could make all of this disappear. Certainly, that's what the NFL is hoping. But the reality is, since this came out, something's changed. We all know more about lifetime effects of some of these crushing hits. And there's still an outstanding lawsuit with helmet manufacturer Riddell. And even with more precautions being taken, David, football's a violent game. Players are still going to get hurt. That's not going away, and this issue probably won't either.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you very much. And financial stress clouds the brain. You probably surmised this, but now there's peer-reviewed evidence. People worried about paying the bills temporarily lost an average of 13 points off their IQ. The report in the journal Science was nicely diverse in its approach, measuring people from farms in India to shopping malls in New Jersey. But your worries tend to stay right at the front of your consciousness, researchers say. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.